What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Big holiday week continues. It's rankings week, too. A lot to celebrate on Fantasy Football Today. Happy holidays, guys. Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah. Huge day. Huge day. Awesome day.
And yesterday was May the 4th. It was Star Wars Day, which was great because Spaceballs was on last night.
It was. I missed it. Yes. I love that movie.
It was on BBC America, which is the first channel I turn on when I turn my TV on.
So if May the 4th was yesterday and today is Cinco de Mayo, what's May 6th?
Seis de Mayo? I don't know. Is it anything? It's tight end ranking day.
May the Sith be with you.
Ooh, that's good. I think that's a Star Wars reference. I don't know what a Sith is. I hope to find that out when I binge watch Star Wars. What's your favorite Mexican dish? Let's say you were venturing out to a Mexican restaurant today. You would get what?
I had a great chimichanga like a week ago. So I'd probably get another one of the... Wait, hold on. Does tequila count? Not to infringe on other fantasy football analysts out there, but does tequila count?
Sure. I mean, you could put it, you could have it with your all chimichanga.
Right, so
I would also go with chimichanga.
And chimichanga will be two.
I don't think Jamie likes Mexican. Oh, no, he does. He's all into Taco Tuesday.
Of course.
What's it going to be?
Taco Wednesday.
Tacos?
Of course.
All right. Hard shell, soft shell?
Doesn't matter. I prefer soft, but doesn't matter.
Okay. Chicken? Beef?
Doesn't matter.
All right, create a taco.
I usually go one of each.
Okay, that's good. Listen, we've reached a point where there's a lot of sports going on right now. That's why we want you to get the CBS Sports app. And it's not just the best scoring app for your phone. It's also where you get breaking news alerts, stories by Dave and Jamie and Heath and anyone else on the fantasy staff, standing schedules, team pages, and all the sportsy digital stuff you're used to. And of course, if a game is airing, this is big. If a game is airing on CBS, that means it's streaming on the CBS Sports app. So that's easy, right? Download it, re-download it if it has that little cloud logo next to it on your phone. And you know we love those five-star ratings, so don't hesitate to drop a five-star rating in the app. Also want to remind you, you can listen to this show, Fantasy Football Today, on your smart speakers. Say, Alexa, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. Or say, hey, Google, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. And there you go. It's going to work on your smart speakers. Okay, we got some news items, and then we will get into the wide receiver rankings. So that's the rookies. Oh, gosh. You guys need to get Amari Rodgers in your top 60 immediately. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Let's talk about it. Why?
Why would you put Kadarius Toney in, granted, like way at the bottom of your top 60? The third, maybe fourth option for the Giants, as opposed to the number two. I'm going to guess the number two option for the Packers.
Well, and the number two option for the Packers has been so great. And I like Rodgers.
Finally addressed it.
What if Tony's the number two option for the Giants?
Then I'd rather have Amari Rodgers, the number two option for the Packers. I also think you got a chance for more catches. There are a lot more catches. You're talking about a slot receiver, not Tony, who's kind of, I would think this year, not a big catch guy. Maybe he's going to get some carries.
I think if you're looking for a good comp for Tony, you want Curtis Samuel from last year.
Yeah. Swiss Army knife kind of guy. But yeah, I just think you bet on that great offense. That's obviously contingent on Aaron Rodgers playing for the Packers.
The one thing that I keep going back to is Amari Rodgers a tremendous like athlete? Does he have that profile? Like, he was a great slot receiver at Clemson, played with a great quarterback at Clemson, got a lot of targets at Clemson, but I compare Tony to him, and I know that Tony's not in as great of a spot, but man, he can move. He can juke. He's got unbelievable lateral agility. I think Rodgers is just a solid receiver who's got a very nice opportunity. I question what he could do with 50 catches in that offense. Is it going to be 50 catches for 600 yards and three touchdowns? I'd rather bet on Tony's upside.
50's not a lot of catches, though.
You think he's doing better than that?
If he's fantasy relevant, yeah. I mean,
But I'm saying, forget about it. You think he's going to have more than 50 catches in the Packers offense?
Let me see something before I open my big stupid mouth. I'm just going to hold on. I'll come back.
You're
to
doing
me.
The math, aren't you?
No,
you're
I'm looking at
50
some
50 by 17. It's about three catches a game.
Let's see. I'm just looking at rookie stats for the yeah, I think he can get to 60. Well, first of all, it's 17 games.
Sure.
AJ Brown had 52 catches in 14 games. Metcalf had 58 in 16. Yes, I think he profiles as a 60 catch guy.
Okay.
Like that.
So let's go with 60 catches. Mm-hmm. What's he going to average yards per catch wise? 11? That might be generous. 660? How many touchdowns? 3-4?
It just seems shut low the door. To me. No, that's what I'm banking on is a good touchdown season.
Okay.
He might. How many rookie receivers for the Packers for Aaron Rodgers have been successful?
Oh.
Probably not many because they don't add a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? This draft class had a lot of really explosive slot guys like Elijah Moore and Kadarius Toney. And you're right, Dave. So this is how Emory Hunt described Amari Rodgers, said more of a possession slot guy than a dynamic one.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like that's exactly what the Packers need.
Yeah, they need a
so you're hoping for Cole Beasley receiver.
Yeah. Cole Beasley, I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know how many touchdowns Cole Beasley had last year, but I'm hoping for Cole Beasley with 8 touchdowns.
That would probably hurt Davante Adams quite a bit then.
I'm not going to crap on you for saying that he belongs in the top 60. He deserves to be drafted in the PPR league. Sure.
You think it would hurt Adams? I mean, I'd rather Tony. Adams had what, 17 touchdowns or something last year?
He had all of the touchdowns last year.
Yeah. I think it would hurt Tonyan, Jamie. That's my...
Could hurt Tonyan also.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for letting me get that off my chest. I guess I like Amari Rodgers.
Do you like Amari Rodgers if his quarterback is Jordan Love or Drew Lock?
Who do you guys like? Who do you guys think you're going to like in terms of the rookies more than the rest of the industry?
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Kadarius Toney.
Okay. Jamie, talk about St. Brown.
I mean, it's just opportunity. The Lions receiving corps is terrible. So, I'm hoping that he comes in and can establish himself as the slot receiver. He could play outside as well, be a significant weapon for Jared Goff, a team that's probably going to be chasing points. I just think there's opportunity there. And so is he going to be a superstar? I don't know about that, but could he be somebody? Like, I would take him over Amari Rodgers, personally. I just think there's a better chance of him being significant for fantasy this year than there is for some of these other guys just based on his landing spot.
And Dave, Kadarius Toney.
Well, there's one I like even better than Kadarius Toney, but I think the industry will like him too, and that's Terrace Marshall in Carolina. I can talk about both of them if you want to. Toney, I think it was drafted with designs in that offense. I know it's not an offense that's, bursting with creativity, but maybe they start to find ways to get him involved because they haven't had a guy quite like him who's short and super shifty and super speedy, good hands. Get him focused on football. Give him 6-7 touches per game. See what he can do with it. And, good short area target. Help that efficiency for Daniel Jones. Marshall's stepping into an offensive scheme that he already knows. He should be able to lock up the number three role pretty easily. And with Sam Darnold under center, and if they take some steps to make sure that offensive line's okay, they're going to throw the ball a lot. It's what they do. Might be fourth on the team in targets, but he could still come down with a lot of touchdowns. He's got size that DJ Moore doesn't have. So when they get inside the red zone, inside the 10, Darnold can just throw a lob into the back corner. Let Marshall go and get it.
Marshall is 40th for Heath, 51st for Dave, not in the top 60 for Jamie. That's in PPR. In non-PPR, very similar. Let's see. I don't think Amon-Ra St. Brown cracked the top 60. So let's
in
so
non-PPR,
you know
for sure.
You hear yeah in either format. 60th for Dave.
See,
and you hear these, you know, 60th. What does that mean? Some of the names that are in that range: Nelson Agholor, Mike Williams, Rondale Moore.
Yep, that's another one I like. Rondale Moore,
DeSean Jackson.
Just guys that you're going to stash at the bench and see what you get with them.
Josh Reynolds is in that range.
Yeah.
Okay.
St. Brown, Jamie Nell, that just the volume is going to be there. And you think about Jared Goff and the connection he had with Cooper Kupp playing out of the slot. As long as St. Brown nails down that role, and I don't know who else is on that roster that's going to take it, he's a great late round pick in PPR.
Right. And so then, yeah, okay. Are you deciding then you'd rather have the number one guy? I guess, Jamie, you said this. You'd rather have the number one guy on Detroit potentially than the number two guy on Green Bay?
Yes. Yes.
And do you think
the number? I mean, if you tell me for sure he's the number two guy in Green Bay, then I would take Amari Rodgers. But I don't think that's going to be the case.
Right. Okay. That was my question. You don't think necessarily that Rodgers is the number two?
Not to start the season. He may be it by the end of the season. But I mean, they're not taking Marquez Valdes-Scantling off the field because of what he does. He's a threat that they just don't have elsewhere. And then it's just a matter of, will he outperform Alan Lazard enough that Alan Lazard is off the field? And that could certainly happen.
News and notes. Big news, actually. Big offensive line news. The Ravens signed offensive tackle Alejandro Villanueva, who has been the left tackle for the Steelers for many years now, and now he'll be the right tackle for the Ravens. And Dave, that's great. I mean, they lost Orlando Brown, but this is a nice replacement, and again, they could have a great line.
Broncos are jealous, that's for sure. And yeah, it's another good offensive line heading our way in Baltimore. They're known for that. They've done that a long time. How about this? Here's an interesting stat that's got very little to do with the offensive line, but a lot to do with the Ravens. How many 1,000-yard receivers have the Ravens had in their 26 years in the NFL?
3.
More than 3.
5.
6.
5.
Double 6.
Okay, 12.
Yeah, so it doesn't happen all the time. They've got a decent amount, but it seems like it's 6. And they haven't had one in a while. I think 2016 was the last time they had a 1,000-yard receiver. So that's a team that likes to run. Why do they like to run? They've always got a good offensive line.
They also have invested a lot of capital at wide receiver in the draft, more than most teams. I can see if I can look up. It's like between Marquise Brown, Bateman, Prochet, mm-hmm. Boykin. Who is the total bust for them? Perryman. Right, Rashad Perryman. They've taken a lot of wide receivers in the first three rounds, and it's kind of weird for a team that is so run heavy. Kind of question the wisdom there a little bit, maybe. Denver, Jamie.
Well,
writes,
I mean, you got to try.
Yeah, but it's still their philosophy. I mean, their philosophy is still to run the ball. All right, Denver right tackle Juwan James tore his Achilles, and he didn't play for them last year, Jamie. So that they were hoping to have him back, though.
They were, and it was going to be a nice addition. Hearing different reports about does he need surgery or not need surgery, so. Maybe there's an outside chance that he can come back at the end of the season, but it probably doesn't seem likely knowing what the extent of Achilles injuries typically are. So tough loss, for a team that, has built a nice roster, and the offensive line was expected to be a big part of that. I still think they'll be okay. This isn't going to change how I view any of the Broncos assets, but, it takes them from, maybe getting their offensive line closer to a 10. It keeps them probably at a 7 or 8. And I think it's still good enough to help their fantasy options there.
Najee Harris wants everyone to know that it is actually pronounced Najee Harris. Saw a clip of that yesterday, an interview he was giving. It is Najee. So, guys, let's make sure we nail that. Najee Harris, not Najee Harris. The Raiders signed Casey Hayward at cornerback, and the Jets, very good defensive tackle, Quinnen Williams, has a foot injury. So he's going to miss some time, and hopefully we'll be back in the later part of the offseason. Quinnen Williams. On to the wide receiver rankings. Dave, after the NFL draft, what really stood out to you as you adjusted your rankings? Any big risers?
Any big risers? Not really at wide receiver compared to running back. And maybe it's just because I was focused on the running backs, but seeing Atlanta and Miami do what they did at the running back position. Didn't really change much for me. It was fun to rank Ja'Marr Chase. I've got big expectations for him. I think he's going to be great. I think he's a number two fantasy receiver. If you want him, you have to draft him as a number two fantasy receiver. So I kind of surprised myself by putting him as high as I did. I thought maybe he'd be closer to a number three, but I can't help myself. Love the talent, love the quarterback. I think Cincinnati's going to throw a lot. Put Chase in my top 24.
Okay, so why don't we start with the rookie wide receivers then. Ja'Marr Chase in PPR leagues, Jamie has him 23rd, Dave has him 20th, and Heath has him 20th. So this is a top 24 wide receiver, and yeah, we usually get at least one top 24 rookie wide receiver every year. It's not always the guy we think, but Chase is the favorite. And Ja'Marr Chase being a top 24 guy, Devontae Smith was in between 31 and 35 in the rankings. He was 33 for Jamie, 31 for Dave, and 35 for Heath. And Jamie, why did you put Ja'Marr Chase, both of you, as the number one Bengals wide receiver? Because he's got some stiff competition.
He does. You know, it's a very nice receiving core if everybody plays to what the expectations are. Higgins, you know, building off what he showed you at the start of the season with Burrow, and obviously Tyler Boyd doing what he's done, you know, essentially his entire career. But I think Chase, knowing his history with Joe Burrow, is going to matter. I think, you know, his talent's going to shine through. And so, you know, it may not be evident from the start of the season. And you pointed this out many times, Adam, that typically rookie receivers, it takes a few weeks for them to get going. And Justin Jefferson was no exception. Chase's former teammate at LSU. But there's an opportunity there with AJ Green gone and those targets vacated. So I expect Chase to come in, have an opportunity to be the lead receiver there, get the most targets from Joe Burrow, and be a number two fantasy receiver.
And Dave, how about you? Why did you put him ahead of Higgins? Higgins, who hit that 900-yard mark, and he would have probably crushed that 900-yard mark if Joe Burrow hadn't got hurt. You know, he got off to a really slow start, and then in his last seven games with Burrow, he was on pace for 1,266 yards. It was crazy how good he was.
Yeah, something's going to have to go wrong for Chase to not be the leading target guy in Cincinnati. I don't even want to speculate on what that could be. Higgins is great. I loved him before the draft. Was kind of hoping he would still be the number one receiver in Cincinnati, and now he's the number two. He's a great 1B to Chase's 1A, and I definitely think there's going to be a lot of targets to go around. What the Bengals are doing on their offensive line isn't great, but it should be better than what they have last year. So maybe instead of them being like a bottom three unit, maybe they'll be a bottom 12 unit. That should be good enough for Burrow, who attempted 40 passes per game, something like that last season. I imagine he'll be close to that again this season. That puts him in the prime breakout category because he's going to have volume. His efficiency should be better. His mid-range accuracy should be better. And he got Chase on top of it. They didn't draft Chase number one to be the second fiddle or third fiddle in this offense.
But it's hard for rookie wide receivers, you know?
Yeah, I don't. I think this is a really good rookie wide receiver.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like it's, really, really good rookie right. wide receiver.
And he's got the Joe Burrow connection, obviously. Those two set records and won a championship a couple years ago.
And listen, Higgins had that connection to a degree with Burrow. They didn't play together in college, but they were training before the draft, and then they ended up on the same team after the draft. I think that helped Higgins have the year that he had.
All right, would you take...
So now Burrow's really surrounded by two guys that he knows real well. I'm very excited for where this is going.
Would you rather have Ja'Marr Chase or Tyler Lockett?
Chase for me.
I do have Chase ranked higher than Lockett.
Ja'Marr Chase or Mike Evans?
Evans.
I'll take Evans.
T. Higgins or Antonio Brown?
Higgins, by a lot.
Yeah.
T. Higgins or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Juju.
I'll take T in non-PPR. If it's full PPR, Juju on that beat.
T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd?
Wow, what a timely reference by me.
Higgins.
Higgins over Boyd.
Higgins over Boyd. Okay, where's Boyd?
Right behind Higgins.
Low end number three receiver in PPR. Worried about the volume that we've seen sticking where it's been. Like if there's a loser in the passing game, it's got to be him.
Why? I would make the argument that he's got his role. You know, he's the veteran. He's got his role. He's in the slot. Maybe Higgins would suffer more from Ja'Marr Chase.
Boyd is going to end up being probably my favorite Bengals receiver to draft because he's going to go last. And so I think there's going to be an opportunity there for him to probably outperform his ADP and his draft value by a lot.
You better reach, because if I'm in that league with you, you know.
What round are you guys
I'm
taking?
Coming at you.
Are you going to commit to round five?
No, because his ADP has already been much lower than that.
Right.
I think you can get him in round eight, and I'll take him in round seven.
I was going to say same thing. Round seven is where I'd look for him.
Sure, and that's where I've got him ranked too. He averaged 7.3 targets per game last year. It still ended up with just four touchdowns. I'd like him to get a little bit more work in the red zone.
He led the team in red zone targets.
Then why did he have only four touchdowns? And how many red zone targets were there?
Well, Joe Burrow had such unlucky touchdown production. I mean, that's going to change because of the amount of times he's throwing the ball. So I wouldn't worry about his touchdown numbers from last year. Again, there's significant changes. The quarterback missed the last five games of the season. AJ Green is gone. There's another new guy in town, you know. So as much as I like Ja'Marr Chase, he still has to adapt to the NFL and prove that he's ready right away. And again, that's going to take some time. So Tyler Boyd's touchdown numbers may be skewed a little at the start of the season compared to the end of the season when Ja'Marr Chase is finally looking like the player that he's supposed to be. But I think Tyler Boyd's going to have a great chance to be very, very good for fantasy managers like he's been more times than not throughout his career.
I have so much to say on Tyler Boyd. I'll just make it quick. First of all, he has only one game in his last eight against Baltimore and Pittsburgh with more than 12 PPR fantasy points. That sucks. He was very matchup dependent last year. So be prepared for Tyler Boyd to once again be matchup dependent. But that's fine if you take him in round seven as your number
and
three or four.
And when were those games, though?
You mean last year?
Yeah.
I don't know exactly.
Beginning of the year, right? So, no, wait. His good games were toward the beginning of the year.
Well, no, he had, I think, at least two were with Burrow, I'd say. But I'm saying his last eight games against Baltimore and Pittsburgh, so that's 2 years now. One game with more than 12 PPR fantasy points. But this is a guy who has dealt with quarterback injuries 3 years in a row, and when his quarterback has been healthy, he's a 90-catch, 1,100-yard guy, basically.
But that was when he was the number two guy.
Yeah, or the number one guy.
Or the number one guy.
Absolutely.
So last year, two games against Pittsburgh and Baltimore when he was the number two guy and without Burrow, four combined targets, one catch, 1 yard.
I think he left one. He might have left one of those with an injury.
I'm going to guess it was week 15 against Pittsburgh because he didn't play week 16.
That's exactly what happened. But also keep in mind that A.J. Green, I think A.J. Green led the team in targets while Joe Burrow was healthy. And Tyler Boyd was still a top 20 per game PPR wide receiver. A.J. Green had 68 targets. T. Higgins had 61. And Tyler Boyd had 70. Oh, he had 76 targets. Okay, so he led the team.
When Burrow was healthy, so Burrow left week 11 against Washington. So including that game, Boyd only had two games with fewer than seven targets. One was the season opener against the Chargers, Burrow's first ever NFL game.
Against Chris Harris, right?
And one was week five at Baltimore.
Okay. So that we'll move on from the Bengals here. Let's talk about DeVonta Smith. You've got him as a number three receiver. So he's right there with Tyler Boyd, right? DeVonta Smith, Tyler Boyd. Who would you guys go with?
I think if you're looking for upside, you probably take Smith just because number one guy in his receiving corps. But Boyd is probably safer. So just a matter of what you're looking for. But I personally take Boyd because I just think he's going to have a better season. But Smith is going to really, I think, come down to how good Jalen Hurts is as a passer. Because, a lot of people are going to make a big deal about his size. He's going to be fine. He showed that at the SEC. He showed that, in his Heisman Trophy winning season. Everybody that measures wide receivers has no concern about him getting off press coverage and getting off the line and, however slight his frame may be. But is Jalen Hurts going to improve that much as a passer is going to be the biggest question mark. And hopefully that's the case. So I think if you just look at it as what Smith can hopefully do as a rookie, again, probably be a little bit of a slow start. Hopefully he's a lot better than their last first round pick at the wide receiver position because Jalen Reagor was terrible. But offensive line being better, targets being funneled his way, I think there's a big opportunity for DeVonta Smith.
Those are absolutely the two biggest things. The offensive line being healthier, literally it's going to be night and day from where they ended up last season. And they even drafted Landon Dickerson. So they've got... he might end up starting, so their depth will be better. As long as they're healthy up front, that's good for Hurts. It gives him an extra half second to focus and make a better throw rather than not getting his feet set, something like that. And I think that they can scheme up Devontae Smith to be that short and mid-range target to help out Jalen Hurts. And it's going to make it easier for Hurts to connect on those mid-range throws. He was great on short passes, if I recall, and terrible between 10 and 19 yards. Now he's going to be able to be better at that because of somebody like Smith, who's just such a finesse route runner, able to get away from any defensive back, get himself open. Those timing routes will be there for him. I think he could come very close to challenging Chase for most targets among rookie receivers this year.
And
I had a tough call just tying in those two teams. I was on the clock in a Superflex rookie only draft last night, and I was offered T. Higgins and a second round pick, which would have been the 8th overall selection in the second round, so 2.08 for my 1.07, which I ended up passing on and taking Devontae Smith.
Yeah. So that you basically took Devontae Smith over T. Higgins in Dynasty and 208.
Right. Which everybody would do, I think.
It was a tough call for me. I struggle with it. I mean, I like T. Higgins a lot. I think T. Higgins showed plenty last year that can, you know, make him a significant contributor. But, you know, it's just the tantalizing upside of what Devontae Smith could be. Mm-hmm. It's too hard to pass up.
And just knowing how good of a receiver that he was. What if it was 201 instead of 208? Like, I think that the problem in the deal, like the breaker, was that it was such a late pick in round two. I think you might have to take it if it's 201.
It probably would have been the same choice. It would have made it a little bit tougher to pass up as well. But again, you know, it's a super flex league. So we are just nearing the end of the first round and already 5 quarterbacks are off the board.
So T. Higgins, just to go back to T. Higgins, you've got 21 wide receivers between 2003 and 2020 who had 900 yards as rookies. Okay, you've heard me talk about this a lot, but updating the numbers here. 21 had 900 yards. 15 of them finished as top 24 PPR wide receivers in their second seasons. So 15 out of 21. That's a really good success rate. There were 6 that didn't. 2 of them... There were only 4 who had bad years. Keenan Allen, Anquan Boldin, and Michael Clayton. Oh, that's sort of 5. Michael Clayton, Eddie Royal, Mike Williams. There were only 3 that really turned out to be bad players. You get to 900 yards as a rookie, that's a great sign. So T. Higgins did that, but you don't find a lot of scenarios where you have that year and then they add a guy like Jamar Chase. It doesn't happen very often. However, Anquan Boldin took a step back in his second year. What happened? I'm pretty sure that was Larry Fitzgerald's rookie season. So that's something to look at too. Keenan Allen, his rookie season, he played without Malcolm Floyd. Malcolm Floyd came back the year after that and led the team in receiving. Keenan Allen took a step back. So anyway, it's a good success rate, but adding a player doesn't help. Enough of T. Higgins. Let's go to Jalen Waddle here. Jalen Waddle is a low-end number 3, more like a high-end number 4. He's just outside the top 36. Jamie's got him 37th, Heath 39th, Dave 42nd. So where's Will Fuller for you guys?
After Waddle, but they're kind of the same type of guy. They're going to need some big plays to be successful. Obviously, Fuller's proven that. Waddle, I think, will have those opportunities to make those type of plays as well. It's very similar to Devontae Smith. This is going to come down to how well Tua plays, you know, how the targets are spread around. There's where the difference is that Waddle is sharing the field with 2 proven guys, whereas, you know, Devontae Smith just has to worry about the tight end, well, 3 proven guys in Miami, so with Mike Gesicki. So are there enough targets to go around for Waddle to be successful? Now, I think as we pointed out throughout the draft process, he's not going to need a lot of targets to be successful. He'll make a lot of big plays and use his, you know, ability to make plays after the catch. But I think that's where he loses a little bit just in terms of targets. And again, that was another tough call, is taking Devontae Smith over Waddle. And I think a lot of people have that choice in a rookie-only draft, is which of those 2 guys projects to be better. Clearly, the NFL draft told you that Waddle projects to be better because the Dolphins took him over Devontae Smith. So, you know, it's going to be a fun, you know, scenario to see it play out over the course of their careers. But I think Waddle has a chance to end up being a starting caliber fantasy wide receiver if he turns into what the comp is, you know, something close to Tyreek Hill.
Dave, you have Fuller ahead of Waddle.
I do. I'm banking on the experience, and I'm banking on it's a 1-year deal. And I know we're missing a game with Will Fuller, Well, one that we know of with Will Fuller. There's probably going to be some other ones that we end up missing. I think that he can contribute sooner and more consistently than Waddle can. Not in week one, but from week two until Will Fuller breaks down, I think he can be that guy. But the overall concern that I've got with both these guys is Tagovailoa. And I mentioned Jalen Hurts and how he was on intermediate throws. He was actually better than what I said he was on intermediate throws, adjusted completion rate there. Tagovailoa was terrible on intermediate throws. He was just a little bit better than 50% on those throws. That's why Fuller and Waddle are there. They're going to run a lot of routes that are inside that 10 to 19 yard range and then are going to get asked to make a play after the catch. Now, if Waddle can adapt quickly, and we learn that in training camp in the preseason, it's going to crush Will Fuller. But if he can't, Fuller's there to do it, and Fuller's there to take the top off the defense. And I think Tagovailoa will take some more deep shots this year than he did last year. But he's got to be good. And if Tagovailoa isn't on target, it's the same concern with Hurts. If he's not good, it's going to hurt both of these receivers. And that's why they're not ranked particularly high for me. Guys that are draftable, and they both have obvious upside, but I'm not seeking them out because of Tagovailoa. We got to see it from him.
Will Fuller, though, I just think he's better than people think. Led the NFL in yards per target last year. He's kind of a superstar in yards per target. And over his last three seasons, he's at 10.7 yards per target. Devontae Adams is at 9.2 in last year in 2020. That was his career high. Career high, 9.2. 7.8 in his career. Okay, last 3 years, Fuller's been at 10.7. I think it's cool because you've got Waddle and Fuller who are both probably going to be very high yards per target guys. And that means you don't have to throw a ton to make them good if they are what they can be.
Yeah, the thing that scares me about Fuller is not only did he do that with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in Deshaun Watson. I mean, he did that with not playing all the time. And you got to worry about how many games is he going to miss. Dave alluded to this. You already know you're down one. He hasn't played 16 games in his career, or at least not since early in his career, and I don't think he's ever done it. Look, let's face facts. How much of last year was predicated on whatever substance he may or may not have taken? You know, that has to factor into the equation in some sort that, you know, did he stay healthy because there was something that he got popped for? So, you know, I hope that's not the case. You know, I liked Will Fuller a lot last year, and I was excited to see him perform at the level that he did. But there are all these things that are just, you know, going into it. New quarterback. Hopefully he's on the left side as opposed to the right side because Tua had a hard time going to the other side of the field as a lefty quarterback. And Parker and Gesicki aren't going away when it comes to both of these guys in terms of Waddle and Fuller. So Fuller's not somebody I'm going to be very invested in. And it's unfortunate because, like I said, I was very excited about him last year.
He had 14 games as a rookie. That's a career high for him. And he might have, if he hadn't been popped for the PEDs, he might have played 16 games last year.
Right. PEDs are weird because as a guy who covered baseball for a while, the players who got popped for PEDs, they really were much better than we thought. It didn't affect them.
It affected his...
You help him stay healthy, you're saying?
Right,
yeah,
it helped him stay healthy.
A lot of people feel that way.
And it may have been, you know, something they took not knowing that it was not on the banned substance list, you know, and I hope that's the case because, you know, I don't want to see him benefit from something that helped him in a way that it shouldn't. But you have to take into account at some point that for a guy that never stays healthy, all of a sudden he stayed healthy and then he, you know, got suspended.
It is sus.
Of course. Yeah. So, by the way, do you think it's interesting that the Dolphins, you would think that they would consult Tua before drafting a wide receiver, especially since he was teammates with their two options and they went with Waddle over Smith. Does that mean anything to you guys in a dynasty league if you're trying to decide between the two?
Like I said, I just got finished saying that. Like, you know, you have
said
to
that?
Look at, well, not the Tua part.
Right,
but
the Tua part. I know you were talking about the dynasty decision, but
right.
The Tua part is
no, but I'm saying like, you know, the Dolphins told you that they valued Waddle over Smith. And you have to assume that Tua was part of that conversation.
Right.
And, you know, you brought up the numbers, Adam, about how close it was between Waddle and Smith when they were both healthy together. Obviously, you know, Tua's got to know the strengths and weaknesses of both of those guys. There has to have been some conversations with Nick Saban as well. Waddle might be the better player. He absolutely might. And that speaks volumes. And, you know, I know I said this previously. If Chase had played last year and if Waddle was healthy, is Devontae Smith the Heisman winner at the wide receiver position? because of what Chase had the potential to do, and obviously what Waddle could have done in that same offense. So, it's gonna, like I said, it's gonna be fun to watch it all play out. You know, to see which of these guys are better on the next level, and you know, Waddle could be the best of the trio. He could definitely be better than Smith.
Well, I only know two things for sure, Jamie. Smith's going to the Hall of Fame, and nobody ever punched a hole in the wall because another team drafted Jalen Waddle.
Such a great video.
Did you see that, Dave? This Giants fan punch a hole? It's
kind of pathetic.
I can't say that I've never punched a hole in a wall for sports. I can't say that I have, but I can't say that I haven't. We're just going to leave it at that.
I'm going to guess you haven't done it as a married man. Because
how many
wife,
broken fingers did you have?
So when I was living in New York City, a lot of people might not know this, but in New York City, if you want to afford an apartment, you have to put up a fake wall. You have to take your living room, essentially, and put a fake wall up to create another room. And that's what we did. And the fake wall is not the highest quality. So there was a Miami, Florida State game. I'm guessing it was 2007-8. And I think Miami actually ended up winning. It's quite an exciting game. And I got really pissed at one point, and it was the door. I punched the door and it created a pretty big hole. It was not my finest hour, Dave. Not my finest hour, but we won. I'm pretty sure Kirby Freeman or something like that won the game for them.
Well, I hope it was worth it.
Yeah, it was a cheap door. But I don't think I'm strong enough to punch a hole in a real door. Okay, so those are your top three wide receivers and those teams, that situation. Who's number four for you guys? Chase 1, Smith 2, Waddle 3 in your rankings. Who's number four?
Marshall.
Rondale Moore.
Marshall, Marshall, Marshall.
Oh, Dave, I made that joke yesterday, and I even tied it in with Joe Brady. Said, who's Brady going to throw to? Marshall, Marshall, Marshall. You must have been listening to FFT&5.
Yeah.
Why Rondale Moore over Marshall, Jamie?
Well, I think you just look at what his chances could be in that Cardinals offense. It's going to be fun. You know, I think he's got a chance to be a superstar. You know, a lot of mouths to feed there, so that's the concern. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be a stretch for him to play over A.J. Green and Christian Kirk. So I love the setup for him playing with Kyler Murray, and I think he's got the chance to be a special player.
He is such a good fit for that offense. Because I have been complaining for a long time about why doesn't Arizona throw downfield more? Why don't they attack deep? And I don't know if they're ever going to really attack deep, because Moore is more of a short and mid-range type of receiver. That's what he did at Purdue. And man, like, he's like Tony. He's amazing after the catch. And he's short, but he's bulky, works out, big muscles, strong like bull. And I think he's got a chance if he can garner the targets, which I think is a pretty decent sized diff. If he can garner the targets there, he'll be electric. You'll be thrilled to have him on your fantasy squad. So I'm targeting Rondale Moore, knowing that like more than half my leagues I'm drafting with Jamie. Now I know I'm not going to get him in a lot of my leagues, but he's exciting. People listening should definitely put a star next to his name, certainly in PPR formats, because he's got that type of upside where he can have weeks. He'll have a lot of three catch 60 yard weeks, but he'll also have a lot of three catch 80 yards and a touchdown type weeks. He's going to be good for best ball.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the wide receivers who will have rookie quarterbacks and what that means. That's up next on Fantasy Football Today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back here on Fantasy Football Today. Going back to something I talked about 10, 15 minutes ago. How about the Cardinals drafted Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald? back-to-back years. That's good drafting right there. Let's talk about wide receivers with rookie quarterbacks.
I like how you just brought that up.
Why?
Just like randomly. I mean, of course that's good drafting. I don't understand how that pertains to...
Oh, because I was saying Anquan Boldin had a bad second year, and I thought that was partially because they brought in Larry Fitzgerald. I couldn't remember if that was for sure Fitzgerald's rookie year, but I looked it up and it is. It was. So I just, that's pretty good. Boldin and Fitzgerald back to back. Not too shabby.
Hey, maybe we'll be talking about Higgins and Chase the same way someday.
Quite possible. So how about the rookie quarterbacks? First of all, we know Trevor Lawrence is going to play week one. Zach Wilson, probably, right? Week one.
Who else do they have?
Yeah. Who else do you think plays a lot this year?
Justin Fields.
Yeah, Fields would be the next likely one.
And there's starting to be murmurs that Trey Lance could do it too.
And Mac Jones. I mean, all of them could play.
So is this good for the rookie wide receivers? For the wide receivers with rookie quarterbacks? Did you change anyone in a major way in your rankings on these five teams?
I mean, you can't do it for the ones that aren't guaranteed to play yet, you know, because there's just no reason to, you know, speculate that far ahead until we get to training camp. So for the Bears guys, I mean, you brought this up, Adam, following the draft, that maybe Allen Robinson does lose a little bit because of a more mobile quarterback. And, you know, we could see a scenario where the Patriots guys benefit because there's a less mobile quarterback in Mac Jones, you know, so those things are certainly something to factor in. The same thing with the 49ers guys, because Trey Lance is going to clearly be more mobile than Jimmy Garoppolo is. So, I think it's probably going to come down to, as a fantasy player, and certainly for what we do as, you know, people who rank players, you're guessing, you know. So, you know, like we're doing a draft today for our magazine that comes out in the summer, our first edition of our magazine. And, you know, by the time that hits newsstands, there's going to be so much that changes from that draft, from what we're doing today, you know, and certainly by the time the next one comes out, you know. So, the idea would be is, you know, you're trying to speculate as best you can. So I think if you're thinking like, you know, Dave said, and I agree with it, Fields is probably going to, you know, end up starting early in the season. Lance and Jones probably at some point later in the season. You know, it's just a matter of how many games is it going to take. And, you know, most of the time it's usually because the team is bad and the starting quarterback is struggling. We had an example of that last year where that wasn't the case. The Dolphins made the switch to go from Ryan Fitzpatrick to Tua during their bye week, because they thought Tua may have more upside, even though Fitzpatrick was playing well and the team was winning. So it's not necessarily going to be, oh, the 49ers are steamrolling people. Are they going to make a change? They might. You know, the Patriots are the best team in the AFC East, but they feel Mac Jones might be better. They might. And you know, you just don't know how it's going to go. Patriots one's a little harder to swallow, though, because it's almost like a complete identity switch if they're going to make that type of change. Maybe similar to the 49ers as well.
Yeah. But
New England is the one that's a little bit tougher to see coming unless Cam is hurt or just completely stinks again.
To answer the initial question, I did move down some 49ers, and Jamie touched on it. It's because Trey Lance is a big time mover. And I would imagine that he would lean on that if the pocket collapses on him, and makes perfect sense. And I think the 49ers would dial up a bunch of design runs for him too. Why wouldn't they take advantage of that athleticism? So I moved Ayuk down a little bit. I moved Debo down a lot. Because you just think about it. Debo's a great player, but is he now third in the pecking order behind Kittle and Ayuk on a team that has a quarterback that'll run a little bit more? Makes me really unexcited to draft Debo Samuel at this point.
It's funny because I like Debo a lot. I just think the way that they get creative with him is going to be fun.
Yeah, but they're going to have to get creative with him a lot. A lot, a lot.
You like him better than Ayuk or no?
No. Right. Ayuk is still my favorite guy. But I just think the value for Debo Samuel is going to be fantastic. Like, he's the perfect type of fourth receiver to put on your team.
Man, I was trying to do this. Just look at the last five seasons and the wide receivers who have had good years with rookie quarterbacks. It's really not that easy to find them. It's hard to... Okay, so you had Dez Bryant with Dak Prescott in 2016, he had about 800 yards and 8 touchdowns in 13 games. He was actually 12th per game in non-PPR, 21st in PPR. The following year was Trubisky, Mahomes, and also Carson Wentz played that year. Carson Wentz, his best receiver was Zach Ertz, who had 816 yards. And I'm seeing a lot of 800-yard receivers. You had the Watson Trubisky Mahomes year. Chicago's best receiver had 614 yards.
Good for the Bears.
Hopkins was, I'm sure, great. He had a great year, and I'm sure he was great with Watson. Watson played 7 games. So
was Fuller.
Was he? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. All right, so Watson was definitely a great, great addition. Jets and Browns the following year with Darnold and Mayfield. Yeah, I mean, it was a good year for Landry, but it wasn't great. I mean, it was 81 catches, 976 yards, and 4 touchdowns on 149 targets. It was his lowest catch rate, 4 touchdowns. And that was a good year for a rookie quarterback. So I would say that Landry was lucky to have gotten 149 targets and, quite frankly, didn't have a great year with those targets. 2019, like, this is what I'm looking at, right? Kyler Murray had a solid 2019 rookie season. He threw for 3,700 yards and 20 touchdowns. It's a lot to expect. It's a lot to expect Justin Fields to come in and do better. 3,800 yards, by the way, for Murray, not 37. It's a lot to expect Justin Fields, who is a mobile quarterback, is going to run a lot more than Nick Foles and more than Trubisky, to come in and do better than Foles and Trubisky. I know that sounds crazy, but I really believe that because it's not an easy position to play as a rookie. And he could be Justin Herbert. I understand that. He could be Joe Burrow, but he could take his lumps. And that was 3,925 yards, 26 touchdowns for the Bears quarterbacks last year. Is Justin Fields going to, be on that pace, 3,900 yards and 26 touchdowns? I would take the under as a passer.
Probably so, but he doesn't have to do that for Robinson, though. I mean, just because that's the numbers for the quarterback, Robinson he's going to lose if the guy is running more. That's obvious. I mean, the targets will come down. But, think about the quarterbacks that he's played with. It's not like Justin Fields has to go out there and be the most accurate, best arm, best downfield thrower, all those things. He just has to give Robinson a chance. And every quarterback that Robinson has played with has given him a chance. And so that's the thing you just got to hope for Robinson, that it's, and again, not to say that he's going to beat Justin Herbert, but Keenan Allen was awesome last year still with Herbert coming in. And obviously Herbert was great, but he gave him a chance and Allen made plays. And so Joe Burrow gave AJ Green a chance. Green failed. He gave T. Higgins a chance. Green was great. He gave Tyler Boyd a chance. Boyd was good. So as long as, Robinson is still getting anything north of 8 targets per game, which I would be surprised if that changes dramatically, I'll still buy into him as a high-end number two receiver. He should not be drafted as a number one, but as a number two, he's still in that conversation for sure. Top 15.
But here's something to keep in mind for Keenan Allen. This is a little sneaky here. His yards per catch and yards per target were basically career lows. He had the same amount of targets essentially in 2019 and 2020 within 4. He had 200 fewer yards. So I think, it'll get better with Herbert, but I did think that was interesting. We have this idea that Allen had a great season, and he did, but he could have done better with 147 targets.
I think the thing for Allen that you were excited about was, and I speak for myself, I thought he was going to be terrible because I thought Tyrod was going to play more.
We thought it was Tyrod Taylor, yeah.
And Herbert was going to struggle as a rookie quarterback. So I think what you got from Allen is like, oh, this still worked. It may not have been as great, but it still worked. And where you drafted him, that was the best part. And so I think if you don't reach for Robinson, you'll be happy about it because there's going to be a decline. How much of a decline, we'll see.
So where do you have him? Did you move him down at all? You got him over 15.
I didn't, but he's in that group of, like 13 to 40. he's at the high end of that, obviously. But he's in that group of guys that could compete for a number one wide receiver spot. Probably going to end up as a number two guy. You should be happy with him on your roster. I don't think he's going to be a complete bust, but I do think there's going to be some struggles for sure.
He was 7th in targets per game among wide receivers last year. He averaged 16 PPR points per game last year. I think this is the best quarterback in Fields that he'll ever play with, or at least to this point. He's, if based on what he did at Ohio State, Fields was accurate. Fields had a strong arm. Fields will run a lot, but he also uses mobility to buy time and throw downfield. I think it's obvious that Allen Robinson's going to be the most targeted guy in Chicago. I think he could end up seeing the type of target volume that Keenan Allen saw last year with LA. And I think he'll do great with it. More importantly, I think he'll be used a ton in the red zone, just as we've seen from Allen Robinson before. I think there's kind of a rebound year for Allen Robinson. So I will take Allen Robinson ahead of Keenan Allen as a top 12 receiver. And I do hope that I draft a lot with Jamie now, because now I can get Allen Robinson a little bit later than even where I have him ranked, because I know that others like Jamie won't be as high on him because of the rookie quarterback.
Man, their receiving core is pretty weak outside of Allen Robinson. They've got, you know, a couple of good young players, and maybe
they just Komet, signed Demir Bird. What are you talking
about? Maybe Komet takes a nice step, but he, just like Keenan Allen, who had almost 150 targets, Allen Robinson gets 150 targets basically every year of his career. So why should that change? Okay.
Also keep in mind, they get Tariq Cohen back and they added Damian Williams too. Those are two very good pass catching running backs. We're going to take targets away also.
So how about the Jets guys, Dave? Did any of them crack your top 60?
Pass. Yes. Some Jets guys did crack my top 60, but it's not like I'm crazy about them. Oh no, maybe they didn't. I'm looking at my PPR rankings right now. Corey Davis, 61. Where'd I put Elijah? 69. That's nice. Crowder is 65. I'm assuming that Crowder isn't going to get cut. I kind of hope he does, because that might push Elijah Moore ahead of Corey Davis and into the top 60. So I guess the answer is no, none of them are in my top 60, and I'm not real excited to draft any of them at this point.
Okay.
I am not a fan of Zach Wilson the way other people. I think he had a great year last year. The film was great on him last year. He was 11-1 as a starter last year. In the prior years at BYU, he was 8-9. He's dealt with injuries. He's kind of lean. Does have a good strong arm. He's like Fields in that he's got a strong arm. He's mobile. I think he's a good fit for their offense. And getting Elijah Moore, I think, will help him as far as like short passes, slot movement. Elijah Moore can line up wide as well. But I'm nervous about this Jets team being really good this year.
Jamie, we saved the best for last. What about the Jaguars wide receivers with Trevor Lawrence?
Well, I think, you know, the thing that you're looking at is, who's the number one there? Is it the underrated veteran guy who always continues to produce in Marvin Jones but has a hard time staying healthy? Or is it DJ Chark, who failed in that role last year? I hope it's Chark, but I think they're going to kind of cannibalize each other a little bit. There's not a number one guy there. They're both number twos. And then you have Chenault, who is, you know, I think hopefully going to build off what he showed you at the end of last season. And he should be their slot receiver, unless they're going to, you know, do what they said, which is, you know, split Etienne out wide and use him more in that regard. But it's an interesting group. You know, you don't have to reach for these guys. One of them is going to be, you know, I think in the number two conversation, number two wide receiver conversation by the end of the season. Touchdowns will matter. But, you know, Chark and Jones are kind of similar in that, you know, they're big physical receivers. And hopefully, you know, Chark sort of builds off what he showed you 2 years ago as opposed to what he showed you last year when he had a hard time standing on the field. So I like Chark better than Jones. Chark's my favorite receiver. But he's got to prove something. You know, last year was highly frustrating as a DJ Chark fantasy manager for several weeks.
Would you take DeVonta Smith or DJ Chark?
Smith.
Dave? I would take Smith as well, but I second the emotion on Chark. Saw that NFL Network reported that he's actually put on 10 pounds of muscle and he's still running very fast. Let's see how he looks in the preseason. If we know that Urban Meyer really values explosive playmakers. I think every coach does. I don't hear many coaches talk about, well, we need just solid 4'7", 40 guys. But that's somebody who can connect deep with Trevor Lawrence. And a couple of years ago, he was awesome in the red zone too. So we'll see what DJ Chark can bring. I think he's got the most upside of the three receivers in Jacksonville, but there's reasons to like all three.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go to our emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We start with Jason. Where's he from?
Austin, Texas.
Jason put Daniel Jones in the subject line, which Heath said was the way to get me to read your email. So good job. Good following directions. I'm in the second year of a Dynasty Superflex League. It's 4 point per passing touchdown. It's PPR and it's IDP. I have, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Drew Lock, and Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. I also have draft picks 1.3 and 1.5. I know Lawrence is going 1.1 and 1.2 will either be wide receiver or quarterback. After my 1.5 pick, there are a bunch of needy QB teams. So do I draft one or two QBs early, even though it's a position of strength for my team, or take some combo of Chase, Pitts, Harris, Waddle, Smith?
I think you trade down and look for a good deal to trade down and let those quarterback needy teams move up to get their quarterback. You clearly do not need another quarterback. Your team is loaded there. Maybe you trade one of the quarterbacks too, if you want, get some picks for the future. But if I'm in your spot, I'm trading down a little bit.
Here's an interesting trade that just happened in my dynasty league. And this is an analyst league. So kind of ties in our conversation a little bit about Allen Robinson, maybe where some people in the industry are viewing Allen Robinson. Robinson was just traded, Superflex League, was just traded for Tua and pick 201.
Oh, my God.
In a Superflex League, you said?
Yep.
Dynasty Superflex.
Yep.
That's interesting.
I still like the Robinson side.
No, you know what? In a Superflex League, 201 is going to be pretty good. 201 is like 1.8.
Is this going to be as good as Allen Robinson?
So the top tier players just went. And what I mean by that is five quarterbacks are gone. So Lawrence, Lance, Fields, Wilson, Jones. Those five are gone. And then it went
order.
Pitts, Najee. No, Pitts, Chase, Najee. I took Smith as the fourth non-quarterback. Etienne, Javonte, and Waddle.
That is kind of a bummer.
So all those players are now gone. But if Tua hits in a super flex league, he's a bit more valuable than Allen Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yes. Yeah, so let's say it's Tua and Terrace Marshall.
Could be. Probably going to be Tua and Rondale Moore, would be my guess.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. It's a good trade. Good trade. All right, second email comes from Dave in Pittsburgh. Hey, Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben. I'm in a 2QB, 3-receiver, and flex PPR Dynasty League. I've got the 7th pick in the rookie-only draft. Would you trade one of my receivers for a running back or try to move up in the draft to try to get Najee or Etienne? He has A.J. Brown, Michael Thomas, Chris Godwin, Terry McLaurin, Beckham, Ayuk, and Cooks. He's got Mixon, he needs help at running back. Those are good wide receivers. So I guess what would you do if you have the 7th pick, but you also have A.J. Brown, Michael Thomas, Godwin, McLaurin, Beckham, Ayuk, and Cooks? How can he get to Najee Harris or Travis Etienne?
It's a 1 QB?
No, it's 2 QB.
I'd stay at 7.
Yeah, you're going to be able to get one of the top three.
You get Javonte at worst. Yeah. At worst.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now the question is, let's say Etienne and Najee Harris are both off the board.
Where did Etienne go in your dynasty?
8.
Okay. So he could, the real good shot at Etienne, almost impossible he'll get Najee.
It comes down to, and look, I was torn on Etienne versus Devontae Smith as well. We start 5 receivers in this league. My number one receiver currently is Mike Evans, so I wanted to hopefully upgrade that group long-term. And I also have DJ Chark and Laviska Shenault, so I didn't want to go all in on the Jaguars.
Good idea. Do you think, though, if you're this manager and you need a running back, let's say Harris and Etienne are both off the board, do you take Javonte Williams or do you take one of those top three? Won't be Chase. Do you take Waddle or Smith?
No, he takes Javonte Williams. I think just given the need of his team. But what I would also do is, unless it's, depending on how trades go, you see how the board starts to play out. You know, in our draft, for example, again, Superflex, so it's a little different. There's maybe a little bit more of an urgency in a 2 quarterback league to take those quarterbacks. It went Lawrence, Lance, Pitts. So once you got to Pitts and you saw that Fields was still available, okay, so now you know probably somebody in picks 4 through 6 are taking Fields. So now you know you're staring at somebody hopefully taking Chase for you, and then you're left with the choice of Harris or Etienne. But at that point, you start to consider a trade and you start to look at the teams that are in front of you, 4, 5, 6, and you say, okay, maybe it's Ayuk and 7 to get to 4 and you take Harris, and just play it out that way. Look who has the quarterback. Like for me, I kept looking at the teams in front of me to see how it was going to play out. Okay. Is this manager taking Fields? Is this manager going to take maybe Zach Wilson? And I was hoping, that one of them would have taken Wilson in front of me. So I wouldn't have the choice of Smith or Etienne. I was staring at because Pitts went three, Harris or Chase, and I would have loved those two guys a little bit better than Devontae Smith. So
yeah, but not Williams. Not Williams. So what? Why wouldn't you just stick with your highest, with your best player available, and hope to make a trade rather than take Javonte Williams over Devontae Smith or Waddle? You
stick
know,
with your highest player available.
Well, if you were just ranking, not no team, just doing a startup rookie only draft, you would take the top three rookie wide receivers over Javonte Williams, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm saying, if you're this manager, why wouldn't you do that? I know he needs a running back, but you're saying take Javonte Williams over Devontae Smith and Waddle. But why wouldn't you just take the better player and then try to make a trade with your wide receiver?
Well, he should be trying to make the trade before the draft, looking at the depth of his receivers.
I think like what he should be doing is like, this is the type of move that you make, you know. So if he wants to trade veteran for veteran, like look at a team that needs wide receiver help that maybe has some running back depth. And the guys you want to try and target are the ones that may have good opportunities for 2021, excuse me, but not necessarily long-term. So, you know, maybe one of your tail end good receivers for like a Mike Davis, a better deal would be like for Miles Gaskin.
Like what, Beckham for Gaskin or something?
No. You know, maybe it's Ayuk for Davis and a pick, you know, or something like that.
Good grief. You do that?
No, I'm just saying like, you know.
No.
That's probably the bags.
Yeah, okay.
So Ayuk for Gaskin and a pick. Ayuk for Gaskin and a two.
You do that?
With all the receivers that this guy has?
I think you're selling yourself short. You can get a better player than that for Ayuk.
I'm just giving you an example.
Yeah, I know. It's tough to do it on the spot. But
I'm just giving you an example of trade. I didn't hear all the names, but Ayuk is one that stood out to me.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Cool. if it's Beckham for...
He's got Michael Thomas. Like, those are the three tradable receivers who I see.
Who is it?
Michael Thomas. I mean, I would ask for more from Michael Thomas than I would from Odell or Ayuk. But the three that he's got that I would try to move to get something great to good, is Thomas, Odell, Ayuk.
Yeah, but you want more than Gaskin in a pick. I know it's hard to do that. It's totally hard to do that. I get it.
Right.
I hate doing that.
Forget what I just said. But what I'm getting at is, take somebody at the tail end of that group, try and get a running back that is not necessarily the longest shelf life, unless you can do that, but something that can supplement your team if you want to go that route. But for me, I'm probably just going to take Javonte Williams and hope that he turns into a star by the end of next year.
I guess I'm saying, why would you take Williams when you like Smith and Waddle better?
Because this is where your roster management comes into play.
Don't you think that you could just trade from your wide receiver depth to get a better running back than Javonte Williams, someone you like? Well,
you should
better.
Be trying to do that now.
Yeah, it's hard. I guess I just wonder, in a dynasty league, if you're in an active league with a lot of trades in a dynasty league, do you go with the position you need, or do you take best player available?
So I'll speak for myself. My running back core, my top two guys are Austin Eckler and Miles Sanders. We start up to three. My third option is, it was Todd Gurley for many years, but it James White, Jamal Williams, and I forget who else is in that mix. So my third option is kind of crappy, and obviously my depth is not great. But we start five wide receivers, and I have Mike Evans, DJ Chark, Will Fuller, T.Y. Hilton, Laviska Shenault. I need a star. So I could have gone Etienne and been perfectly fine. Absolutely fine. He fills my third running back. He's an eventual star. Great. But I think I need, by next year, an alpha wide receiver. And I hope Devontae Smith is that guy. So I had the choice of taking best available player.
Yeah. Now, but the way that I... Wait, hold on. You're telling me that you have... This means that you have Etienne ahead of Devontae Smith in your overall rankings.
No, I have Smith ahead of Etienne. But again, for my team, I could have gone either direction.
And who'd you go with?
I went Devontae Smith.
Because he's ahead of Etienne.
Right.
This is completely different. What I'm saying is you're telling this guy to take Javonte Williams over Devontae Smith.
Because the need for his team is more at that position than it is for wide receiver.
Yeah, but your need in your scenario where you went Smith over Etienne, your need was also at wide receiver.
Yeah, but the difference is
you drafted
James
the better player and you filled
five
your
receivers,
need.
Adam. And this other guy, Dave in Pittsburgh, only needs to start three. And he's got six really good receivers.
Why
already.
Would you take someone that you don't like as much? Why wouldn't you take a better player and then try to make a trade?
But you're saying that he doesn't necessarily like Javonte Williams. I mean, his rankings and his personal, his personal rankings could be Najee.
But I'm asking
Etienne,
you. But
Smith,
you
Williams, and you could have them, as Chris Towers would say, separated by half a half a point as projection.
But you all have everybody. I feel like has Devontae Smith and Waddle ahead of Javonte Williams in Dynasty. I don't know about everybody. That's an exaggeration, but I think
but
consensus.
No. And again, but it's a matter of then what your team needs and what you have to start for your lineup.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just wonder, do you get a better running back by drafting Javonte Williams or by drafting Devontae Smith and then trading one of your veteran wide receivers?
To go back to what you said, you have to know if your league is active with trades. You have to know if your league is active with trading veterans for veterans. You know, he could certainly turn around and trade.
He could make two trades. He's
right.
got enough receiver depth where he can make two trades and then pick Smith.
So, and just to tie back in my own team, you know, to give a real life example of this, I'm hoping in round two that Trey Sermon or Michael Carter are available to me in the middle of the second round. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that was kind of, I was looking at it as, is Smith and Carter or Sermon better than Etienne and Tony or Etienne and Elijah Moore, you know, guys that are going to be in that range. So I felt like Devontae Smith and one of those backs is a bit more likely scenario because again, it's super flex and this one is 2QB. He could also try and, you know, I know not to use the Ayuk example again, but he could try and maybe trade Ayuk for a pick this year to get back into the first round in the back end. And maybe he's, you know, still Javonte Williams is still there.
Fun stuff. All right, guys, good stuff. And happy Cinco de Mayo. Get your chimichangas, get your tacos out, and we will talk to you tomorrow on May the 6th. See you then.
Arriba.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!